And the beat goes on, yeah. Brown-eyed women and red grenadine. Butter was dusty, but the liquor was clean.
Hi, Jods, L.A. First week of the NFL. Second week for college. Second week for myself. I'm the coach. This is Lark.
Ahoy, hoy.
This is it. Is it, you know? We've been waiting all this long time. Then we had to wait a little bit longer because of that phantom thunder and lightning storm they had in Denver.
I mean, talk about a delay of game. I mean, that really just, I mean, the game you've been waiting for months and months and months, and all of a sudden, like you said, phantom. Just something that never happened that delayed the game that everyone's waiting for.
Oh, we'll talk about that at length. We had our second game, our home opener, at our brand new stadium. You were there. You were working in the press box. What'd you think?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought Diamond Ranch did a fantastic job about putting things on. I thought the kids looked were in high spirits. They performed very, very well.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was fun. It's an interesting place, no doubt about that. It is unique in so many ways. It's tough if you've never seen it. I can't paint you a visual picture, though. But we won 42-14.
I do have a question for you, though.
What's that?
Did I see a little of what we refer to nowadays as the Wildcat in your guys' play scheme? I know it's kind of a wing T type of offense, but at one point, one of the players we talked about last week, Daniel Garcia, I saw him back there by himself.
It's more of a single wing type philosophy, but yeah, no, we put him back there and just let him go. But no, you know, it was good to get second win under the belt. You know, moving on, 2-0. College football, you get a chance to watch any of the games this week?
No.
Nothing. Big rain, dirt. I tell you, if you put a gun to my head, I don't know why you put a gun to my head for something like this, but I would watch college football all day, every day over pro football because of the innovation and just the play calling is much different. It's a much different game. You see things. The NFL has become so cookie cutter and so predictable that it's tougher to watch than college football. I loved it.
I completely agree. But at the same time, college football is becoming like a la carte TV. It's where you have to make sure you have the right cable provider to watch it.
Right.
Just like watching the Lakers and Clippers or like not the Clippers so much, but just the Lakers. You got to have Time Warner Cable or else you're not watching the Lakers.
Well, NBC and Notre Dame is still pumping out their drivel. Although, I don't mind Notre Dame. That Notre Dame-Michigan game was something. It starts out, it was a bizarro world game. You know, up was down was up. Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Starts off, you got Mark Harmon out there talking about his dad, Tom Harmon. You know who Tom Harmon was? Tom Harmon, Mark Harmon's dad, was a single wing quarterback / tailback. That's what they used to call it back then. Quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, 2-time All-American. Defense, he played both ways, punted, kicked extra points. The guy was so good that after the Ohio State-Michigan game, the Ohio State fans gave him a standing ovation, which is unheard of, and that would never happen. It never happened today. Mark Harmon, by the way, he's another interesting guy. Played quarterback for UCLA. He's on the biggest TV show in the world, NCIS, which I never watch. I would never watch it. This is an interesting fact about him. His sister was married to Ricky Nelson, is the mother of the 80s rock band twins.
Nelson.
Gunner and Matthew, or Gunner and Ruben. I don't know what names are. But yeah, she's the mother of the band Nelson.
I remember when I was a kid, the song Garden Party, just strumming along through my mom's like records and stuff. That was one of Ricky Nelson's, I think it was a number one hit at one time.
For Ricky Nelson?
Yeah. Garden Party.
Huh.
Funny you bring that up.
But it's interesting. Michigan in a shameless self-promotion. They have a bunch of their players, got a bunch of their players wearing numbers from former Michigan greats. And their quarterback, Devin Gardner sounds like a girl's name, by the way, but I would never say that to him because he'd probably pound my face like a basketball. He's a quarterback and he's wearing number 98. I've never seen a quarterback wear number 98. And it's funny because Notre Dame's got defensive linemen wearing number 1. I don't even know what to think anymore about this.
You know, honestly, there was another number controversy that really tugged at me, but I cannot remember what that was at this time. And
Good insight.
Sorry about that. Back to you, Coach.
It was an interesting game. You know, you got Slim Shady in the booth at halftime with Brett Musburger and Kirk Herbstreit. Just a bizarre game. Man, you know, it was one of those things that, I don't know, college football has taken a turn. Notre Dame in their gold helmets and mustard yellow pants. I just don't get it. Decent game, though. I think Michigan's all right. I think Michigan's pretty good. It started off as a weird week as well with Skip Bayless, that dummy, and Mark May saying, oh, I remember growing up watching this rivalry. And Skip Bayless said, oh, I remember watching this rivalry with Bubba Smith. Bubba Smith played for Michigan State. Way to get your facts. He must go to the same fact book that you go to, Lurk.
What are you talking about there?
Yeah.
Hey, blue and pink, Mr. Penn State. Blue
true,
and pink.
True.
Blue and pink.
And Mark May talking about, and then you got Brian Kelly came out and said, oh, well, it's not really a rivalry. And, you know, we need to schedule. Our scheduling comes down to, you know, strength of schedule and recruiting. Which I don't get. Why wouldn't you want to play Michigan? And they broke a record for 115,000 plus people. They pack them on the sideline. This poor girl on the sideline just got ran over bad. And they never said anything about it. I didn't read anything about it today, but it's dangerous. They're packing all these people on the sideline. But my point is, why wouldn't you want to play Michigan? They are the number one in terms of wins college football team of all time. They have the biggest stadium in the country. They probably, other than Notre Dame, the most storied franchise in college football history, and Brian Kelly just turns his back on that rivalry. Why would he do something like that?
Scared. I mean, nervousness. I mean, like I said, when you're ahead of something that's very particular, very delicate, like the Notre Dame name is, you need to play. If you want to keep your job, you play it safe. And keeping Michigan off, that's keeping it safe.
I guess. But the reason being, Notre Dame now is in the ACC loosely, so they've promised the ACC they're going to have five games, but they're going to keep the SC game, they're going to keep the Navy game. There's a couple other games that they're going to keep. Michigan is not one of them. Interesting. I think Notre Dame looked pretty average. I think 14 is a really high ranking for them at this point. I would not be surprised if they end up 25 or even out of the top 25. But who knows? Michigan 41. Notre Dame 30. Other game I got a chance to watch this week. I only got a chance to watch two because, you know, putting 9 hours in on a Saturday on college football is, as much as sometimes I do it, is not, you know, the most healthy thing to sit on the couch for 9 hours. I also watched the Georgia-South Carolina game. Same score. Same exact score, ironically enough. 41-30. Georgia. I like what Georgia does offensively. They run the ball out of the eye. This girly guy is a great college running back, got a big fullback, and they pound the ball. And Aaron, what's his name there? The quarterback, Aaron Murray, been playing forever. Solid, got solid guy. Never really gonna do anything in the pros, but is a winner at the college level. But one thing that really, really drew me off sides, Steve Spurrier, whom I really like. I think he is a good play caller. I really do. Fourth down play at the goal line. Yeah, they got the ball inside the one. They go shotgun. They go option. So they pitch the ball back. So the guy gets the ball at the seven, stuffed ball game, essentially. Georgia goes down the field, kicks another field goal, ices the game. Shotgun, inside the one, option. Brings it back to seven, gets stopped for a four-yard loss. Why?
Now, the problem I have with that is when you go shotgun, then you just put too many mechanisms in play that can go wrong.
Right.
And when you're at the goal line, you want the fewest mechanisms in play that can go wrong. Coach, I need to ask you, if you were that offensive coordinator, what kind of play would you call?
Quarterback sneak.
Just straight up.
Quarterback sneak. If you want to get creative with it, maybe a silent count, maybe come out an empty formation and then rush underneath and run the sneak. But quarterback sneak, you're talking about 6 inches. If you can't get the quarterback sneak, you don't deserve to win the game.
You need a new center if that's the problem.
Yeah, you need a new center. You just need the muddle of your team needs to be questioned. I just don't get it. Other games. Western Kentucky. One reason I'm bringing up Bobby Petrino, a guy I talked about on this very program. 5 turnovers and 6 snaps versus Tennessee. Holy vey. It'd be interesting about Bobby Petrino because this has got to be his last chance. It's interesting to see if he can actually do something there. Western Kentucky, which was a 1AA powerhouse for a number of years. Quick spiral at you. Who was the head coach for Western Kentucky for a long time?
Jesus, Louises. Come on, man.
Come on. Harbaugh. I forget his name. The dad.
Oh, Jack Harbaugh. Dougie. Jack Harbaugh. Yeah.
Dougie Harbaugh.
Honestly, I have a Jack Harbaugh quote that is in my classroom that I really, again, this is horrible media because I cannot remember it exactly at this time. Hopefully, I'll be able to bring it up on my phone here in a little bit. But
Jack Harbaugh was a longtime successful coach at Western Kentucky. Yeah, I just want to bring that up. 5 turnovers and 6 snaps. Ugh. I've coached some bad teams, but geez.
Here's a spiral right back at you. Oh. Who does Harbaugh's in-law coach for? Who was a head basketball coach?
No idea.
Indiana.
What's his name?
I'm not sure what his name is, but he is married to Jack Harbaugh's daughter.
That wasn't a spiral. That was very loosely wrapped.
Hey, it's still Indiana.
Miami, 21 over Florida, 16. Why is the U not where they need to be? They're on some kind of probation. I should look that up. Miami needs to be back to be the dominant team in Florida. But Florida, that's a huge loss for them.
Hey, Coach, just one last input. Just got a headline coming up on the phone here. Tony Romo just went down. He is out of the game of the Giants. Cowboys game. So Tony Romo was out with an injury.
Who's the backup, you know?
Kyle Orton.
Oh.
From the old Denver Bronco days and the old Bear days.
6-10, 7-9.
And I'm a big Kyle Orton fan. So honestly, I think the Cowboys quite possibly might just do just the same or maybe even a little bit better at the quarterback position.
Former Bronco, big fan, huh?
Hey, the guy, he ripped us up. I mean, as a Raiders fan, he tore us up, but so did Tebow, so I ain't saying much.
Speaking of tearing up, segue, Johnny Manziel, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns and a rushing touchdown.
Makes me sick.
Still against Sam Houston State. Well, if you want retribution, next week will be the biggest college football game of the year. We're in week 3, but it, as far as the hype machine goes, you got Alabama, Texas A&M, you got the most hyped team versus the most hyped player in week 3. 12:30 Pacific Standard Time.
And I don't think Bama, I don't think, like, I think Manziel, especially in college, Manziel is going to do just fine. But I don't think Bama's going to live up to our expectations this year.
Manziel to you, Lurk. SC 7, Washington State University 10. Chanting at home, SC at home, home opener. Fans were chanting, fire Kiffin, fire Kiffin. I think it's got to be. It's already a disaster. It's done. It's over. What are they going to do? I mean, they fire him. Who are they going to hire? Any ideas?
You know, honestly, like, I have been waiting for USC to fire Kiffin pretty much ever since they hired him because I have never been a big fan of his. But at this day, at this point, I would say just a no-brainer would be Jim Tressel. Just to get Jim Tressel in there because he is definitely a proven winner. He got screwed out of his job compared to what's going down in the NCAA right now. And I mean, just for the fact, again, he's a proven winner over and over and over again.
Well,
and
twice.
Kiffin's a douche. I mean, I just can't get over him. That guy, just something about him just reeks of just disgustingness. I'm done with Kiffin.
Well, Tressel, that's an interesting point. I didn't even think of that. Tressel would be a good hire. As much as I don't, there's something about him and his sanctimoniousism. I'm not a big fan of either, but I think he would be really successful at USC. That would be a good one. Yeah, I don't know who else they could go out and get. Maybe they could talk Sarkisian into coming back.
Well, that's the thing is, like, other than Jim Tressel, you're going to have to talk another coach out of quitting his current job. And that's the one thing I hate talking about. I hate talking about
hypotheticals. We know.
Yeah. There we go. We don't want to go on that.
One other one I want to mention. UMass 14, University of Maine 24. Ugh, UMass has gone Division I, FBS. First game in Gillette Stadium.
This must be an East Coast thing that gets under your skin.
They get taken out by Maine. 1AA team by 10 points at home. Oh, boy. Maybe I should go home and be the next head coach at UMass. Yeah, that'd go over well. Last thing on college football. Well, two things. One, Teddy Bridgewater tearing it up again. Quarterback, QB through the roof, which I can't even really follow what it is, but it's like a quarterback rating for college football. Leading the Heisman candidacy. How about that Pat Tillman? Do you see that Pat Tillman thing that Arizona State has? Coming out of a tunnel, they have like a hologram type thing with Pat Tillman leading him out of the tunnel. Any thoughts on that?
I think that's badass. Yeah. I mean, I just think the whole Pat Tillman story, and I know like right now a lot of like the modern or the new football fans might not know him, but he was a person that gave up a pretty lucrative NFL contract to go into the Army, and he was part of the Rangers, and that's an elite Army group, and unfortunately he lost his life over there.
Yeah, you gotta check out that documentary. I forget the name of it, but it's an interesting thing with Friendly Fire, and they covered that up.
Anything that they could do to shine a light on him or what he has done, I think is the least they could do.
Yeah. No, so. I don't know. We all make choices. Let's get to the NFL. The first game in the NFL on Thursday night, the Ravens-Broncos. I got actually a chance to watch the whole thing. I recorded it after practice. I came home and watched it. Opening show, Keith Urban. I'm just out of it musically, I guess, because what is that? I mean, I guess country music has taken over when I've been asleep, huh?
Well, it's always taken over my world, so I've never noticed the difference.
Tell you what, the NBA would never have Keith Urban up there.
Good for the NBA.
The word urban in the NFL, in the NBA, doesn't mean the same thing as urban in the NFL. The word urban in the NBA means purple drank. Like that guy Jolly there for the Packers. Did you see that? First game today back in 3 years. He'd been suspended for 3 years, the D-lineman for the Packers, because he was addicted to codeine. I didn't even know you could get addicted to codeine. I always thought that was just cough syrup. But the purple drank, which is codeine and Sprite.
That was Jamarcus Russell downfall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the purple drank that got him.
Huh. That's urban. Hey, Keith Urban is not urban. I don't know. Peyton. And they had the rain delay that never even rained.
It was a lightning storm.
Yeah. And then they had that countdown with all those players. I counted out those 25 players, and I think there were 6 or 7 of them in the Hall of Shame that we did earlier. And 3 or 4 of them, I think, that were borderline felons. But Ray Lewis having the countdown. I think they should have had the countdown with all the concussion plaintiffs. Too soon. Bad taste. Yeah, I don't know. Ryan Seacrest. I actually respect Seacrest professionally, but what the hell did the NFL bring up? Is there somebody who's going to watch the NFL because Ryan Seacrest is leading the charge?
I mean, you never know. I mean, just when you see like American Idol or any of these shows that go by viewer votes, and then you see the ages of the viewers, it's all 13 to 14-year-old girls. And so I think that's, like, by bringing a guy like Keith Urban or any of those people in to do the football show, that's their goal. We want to bring this market into there.
It's amazing the shameless promotion they do to target women to watch the NFL. It is unreal. I mean, the country music stuff. Okay, the Ryan Seacrest stuff, the women on the sideline reporters. I don't have a problem with women reporting about football if they played. And a lot of women play football nowadays. There's a lot of female leagues. I forget the one out by where I live, but there's a lot of female. These women who know nothing about football that are on every single sideline talking just head. Like Pam Oliver today, I thought was hilarious. I just talked to, what's the coach of the Packers' name again? McCarthy. I just talked to Coach McCarthy, and he says in the second half, it's going to come down to penalties and turnovers. Some fucking...
That's what the first half came down
to.
Yeah,
some great insight there, Pam. I don't know what her football background is, but again, I don't mind women per se, as long as they have a legitimate point of view. None of them do. Sad. In the studio, You know who I like as a studio guy is Rodney Harrison, because he's unstable. You look at that guy, I think he's legitimately crazy.
He's always playing with his hands. He's kind of like eyeing everyone. He's still in the hunt. He's that predator that's still out there. Like, he has those predator eyes.
The Patriots have not been the same in the back end of the defense since Rodney Harrison has left. Now, I know where Rodney Harrison is not an average guy. You don't get Rodney Harrison's, but he brought that presence of, you know, just that badness that they're lacking. They don't have it. They don't have it anymore. It was evident today. Who I don't like, and people like him. I've had conversations with many people. They like Chris Collinsworth. Do you like Collinsworth?
I do.
Oh, my Lord. How?
Why not? I think he's just. I think he's fair. He gives equal commentary to both sides.
Oh, he's a righteous man. I'll tell you why I don't like him. There's a couple of reasons. And just two reasons that... Watching the game on Thursday night, Broncos Ravens, they had that delay. I kind of give the edge to the Ravens because they've been through this delay before. And last year in the Super Bowl, they were delayed, so they know how to prepare themselves during the delay. Bullshit,
dude. He's just trying to fill time. Give the guy a break.
Come up with a spiral, then give a trivia question. Do an impersonation. All right, talk politics. Talk about Syria. Don't give me that. Don't fill my airwaves with such drivel. And another good one, another great Collinsworth line in the middle of this game, talking about Wes Welker, which they're going to talk about Wes Welker leaving the Patriots. Oh, yeah. Even though Wes Welker dropped a couple balls, and he dropped that ball that if the Ravens challenged, that whole game complexity might have been a little bit different.
Very true.
But Collinsworth says, Belichick, Coach Belichick, I know Welker left unceremoniously, but Belichick really likes guys that help him win championships. Oh, that's insightful. Name one coach who doesn't like guys who help him win championships.
I'll give you that one.
Oh, please. And it's just full of them. I just don't sit there and write them down. I know I did a little bit this game, but what? Help him win championships? Every other coach doesn't like guys that help him win championships. It's just bull. Can't stand it. I can't stand listening to that guy.
Well, as being a Raiders fan, Dan Dierdorf is usually assigned to our game, so that's who I usually have to suffer through. So Chris Collinsworth is he's a sight for sore ears.
The only one I don't mind Daryl Johnston. I don't mind Troy Aikman as color guys. The play-by-play guys, I can't stand any of those jock sniffers. None of them are any good in my eyes.
The times I really got to enjoy Troy Aikman was listening to him color commentate the UCLA game, where Rick Neuheisel was the coach, and he was just because Troy Aikman is an ex UCLA quarterback and was very successful there, and he was just ripping apart Neuheisel, just like talk because like I was right when Neuheisel tried throwing in the pistol offense. He did not recruit any players that could do it well, this and that. And like I said, Troy Aikman just ripped him.
And he had Norm Chow, a guy who didn't, you know, what does Norm Chow know about the pistol?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's not his offense. Why would you bring a guy like Norm Chow and then try to make him do something that he doesn't do? It's funny, a kid that used to play for, that I coached a few years back, was back for the opening of the stadium. He plays for UCLA right now. I asked him, I said, what do you think of Coach Moore? And it was interesting. He said, he never been around a coach that really wanted to get better as a coach every day. I thought that was interesting insight. I'm like,
that is.
And I said, well, what'd you think of Neuheisel? He's like, you know, not a bad guy, but he was just too much into the politics of it. Thought that was interesting. The kid's playing for him now. He's a redshirt senior. Thought that was some interesting take on.
That is.
On UCLA football.
Hey, I got a question about you with the Pats.
Oh, good.
All right. EJ Manuel, I'm going to be honest with you. I never really thought a lot of him when he got drafted, especially where he got drafted. I mean, the thing is where like that he got drafted, yeah, I agree with that. But first round, the first quarterback going, no. But he looked pretty solid. He looked pretty good as a rookie quarterback going out there against the Pats that are – like, supposed to have the Belichick defense.
Well, I was sticking to the script, damn it. I was going to talk a little bit more about Broncos Ravens, but we're going to jump into the Pats. Fine, we'll talk about EJ Manuel and the Pats. EJ Manuel is, I think, going to be a solid quarterback. I like what what they're doing, Doug Marrone is doing in Buffalo. However, if you really watch that game, Buffalo was running high tempo. And then they were up, they had a lead, and there was only about 4 minutes left, and they were snapping the ball, still high tempo with about 15, 16 seconds left in the play clock. Dumb. To get back to talking about EJ Manuel, I don't think he's a guy that's ever going to lead him to the Super Bowl. I don't know, though. I think he's all right. I really do. I think he's a guy that can win, depending on the team and the defense, 10.
Maybe a Cordell Stewart type of player.
No. You racist. Just because he's black. No, he's a different type of player than Cordell Stewart. He's a better pocket passer than Troy Stewart.
A lesser player than Steve Young. Is that better?
Well, yeah, Steve Young's one of the all-time greats. Of course, I think he's going to be less of a player than Steve Young. But, you know, I like what they're doing, and they're running play-wise. I mean, they got two good backs. C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson and two good backs.
Here's the thing that I was kind of pissed off about is, well, I'm not really pissed off because, again, what coaches tell the media is completely arbitrary. But they made a point this summer about saying that they're going to give the ball to C.J. Spiller until he throws it up. And I believe he only had 11 carries for 47 yards.
Coughed it up, fumbled really early in the game.
And so, like I said, last year C.J. Spiller was electric. I think he averaged almost 6.5 yards a carry. And that's amazing. But like I said, when you make that declaration, especially when you're new to the job, you're breaking into the system, that whole coaching staff is new to the NFL. They kind of blew their load right away.
Yeah. Well, you know, now that we're talking about the Patriots, the Patriots have done such a poor job surrounding Brady with legitimate weapons. You watch teams. Even the Ravens, you watch teams like the 49ers, they got, you know, Vernon Davis, they got Anquan Boldin who tore it up.
Who went from the Ravens to the 49ers.
Right. They got Mario Manningham, who's not even playing now, Michael Crabtree right now. They got all these weapons. The Patriots have surrounded Tom Brady with Julian Edelman. Okay, he sounds like some kid out of Brandeis University, some accountant. You know, now, I like Edelman. Edelman covers kickoffs. Edelman returns punts. Had 7 catches there for 70 yards and 2 touchdowns. But he's not a threat. You know, he's not a burner. Danny Amendola went over 100 yards today. I like him too, but he came up lame in the second quarter. He came up with a groin. He's always battling the groin. The Patriots have not done a good job surrounding Brady with weapons, although I do like Vereen. Shane Vereen went for like 10 carries, 100 and something yards. Stephen Ridley fumbled again, dropped the ball, not even being hit. He stumbled, he tripped, and he fumbled. But that game shouldn't have even been that close. I mean, hey, win's a win. I'm glad the Patriots won. But Ridley fumbles the ball without being hit. Brady fumbles a snap on the 1 yard line. How many times that's ever happened? Pick right off the hands of Sudfield. You know, games come down to things that you don't foresee coming. Like that Ravens game, you see Jacoby Jones looking to return a punt, and his own man runs into him.
That's honestly one of the things that you just hate. I mean, it's kind of funny at the same, like, because we had the Mark Sanchez butt fumble last year where, you know, something happens where two teammates run into each other. But in this case, both players were looking to do their job to the best of the ability. And I hate to see that situation happen. The butt fumble was hilarious, but this I don't think was very funny.
My point is, in practice, you could practice for hundreds of hours, and what happens in the game, you can't account for some of that stuff. You know what I mean? The prolate spheroid bounces funny. It's the shape of a football, science guy.
10-4.
You can't tell.
Over and out.
The Patriots, though, Kimbrell Tompkins, who I actually saying his praises, trying to be positive. I mean, undrafted free agent is just number two receiver.
So you're saying where Brady had 52 attempts today and he was only averaging 5 yards per attempt. That's probably why. It's because the talent around him isn't.
Absolutely. He put all those balls in the hands. The receivers are slipping. which I don't get. There's got to be more to it. I'm not a capologist, but how does San Francisco get Anquan Boldin for a 6th-round draft choice? How is there not other teams out there willing to cough up a 6th-round draft choice?
I mean, Anquan Boldin, the guy that had 13 receptions and 208 yards today?
The very same.
Or on Thursday, excuse me. Today. I forgot his ex-team played on Thursday.
The very same.
The ones that let him go. And lost.
Pat's same problem, so pass rush wasn't there. I'm going to dive into the twit bag real quick. There was a question I got from the twit bag from Cyrus T. Virus. How much does a triple bypass cost and how much will I need to save up before this offense starts clicking? Good question. I don't know. I have no idea how much a triple bypass costs, but...
And what offense is he talking about?
Patriots. Oh, as a Pats fan. Yeah, I don't know. Don't hold your breath. I mean, they'll have their moments. When Gronkowski comes back, which I think will be next week, they'll have their moments. But I don't know. You look at teams like the Packers and the Niners, and you just see so many more weapons than the Patriots have. I think it's going to be... I still think the Patriots are going to be 10-6, 11-5 because of the weak conference. They play Thursday night against the Jets, but I am not looking for them to go to the Super Bowl, even though I predicted them just 2 weeks ago to go to the Super Bowl.
What? You're going back on your hypothetical choice?
Hypotheticals. Pack 49ers, speaking of which, that was a great game. Great game.
Back and forth.
It's amazing that they would put two teams in such high, you know, that they finished so highly. Two teams that will be there at the end of the week. Week one.
Are you kidding me? That's the way they plan the schedule. Yeah. Again, they play the NFC conference participants.
Central plays the West.
Well, no. Again, this is the NFC championship rematch.
Do they do that?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's why, again, Ravens, Broncos played each other. Huh. That is why
they do
the
that
Pats.
Every year?
Yes! Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. You've never caught on to that?
No.
Wow. Talk about a spiral. I just fucking fluttered out there.
Language. We've been spoken to. Well, how about Atlanta, New Orleans? That was another one. That was another good game.
You know, honestly, I'm going to say one thing.
Yeah.
I was shocked today. I was downtown LA watching football, and Saints fans were freaking everywhere. I never realized there were so many freaking Saints fans in Los Angeles.
It seems like they're a real bandwagon team in the last few years, huh?
I don't know. Like, these people really had a lot of... I mean, again, there was a lot of passion. There was a lot of camaraderie. There was a lot of this and that. And you see that, again, amongst any fan groups. But I was just really... it just really caught me off guard with the amount of Saints fans that I was running into and just seeing their excitement level and just seeing them in general, just especially in a town with no football team.
Tribalism.
There you go.
You know what really draws me offside? We had a couple of drinks at a bar before this. How many grown men wearing jerseys of guys who are 5-10 years younger than them? Bad form. A good buddy of mine, John Whalen, if you're listening, has a steadfast rule, which I've subscribed to. You can't wear a jersey of someone unless you're at least 2 years younger than that person that you're wearing the jersey from. I just think that's bad form.
It is what it is. You're a fan of the team, you know.
Yeah.
And there's always, again, you're going to be 50 and they're going to draft someone new. And he might be the best player that your team's ever had. And so.
I won't wear his jersey. Well, I still cheer for him.
There you go.
I'll still cheer for him, but I won't wear his jersey.
I guess that's why they call it an opinion.
Atlanta, New Orleans, getting back to that game. I think those are two teams. I think the Packers and Niners and the Falcons and Saints could very well end up being the final four teams left in the NFC.
I agree.
Good to see the creep Sean Payton back on the sideline. I was looking at some stuff on the internet. I was with Sean Payton on TMZ grinding up on some middle-aged woman. Sean Payton is freaking too much, man. He just looks like the guy at the country club wearing his visor that's too drunk and you know, dipping and wants to tell everybody how wrong they are.
Well, I just loved it on one of the NFL specials they did, and they talked to the guy that's in charge of giving him bubble gum on the sideline and how he gets chastised if he doesn't have the bubble gum at the right time or he doesn't have the right kind of bubble gum. And I was like, wow, if they're making such a big deal about freaking bubble gum and this guy and his job and Sean Payton, this dude
is just too much of a prude. I don't know. There was just something off about him.
I can't believe a few years back they had that whole thing about him and his painkillers stuff, and he got off scot-free on that. That just disappeared. Evidently, he was stealing Vicodin from the cabinets.
That's right.
And it just disappeared.
I forgot about that.
And the guy who...
I forgot about that completely.
The guy who told on him about that was the head of security, and he was like a cop for like 20 years. So why would this guy just make this up about Sean Payton? But hey, it's nice to see him back on the sideline. I don't like the Saints. I don't like Drew Brees and the thing that's growing on his face. I just don't like that team. How about the Jets over the Bucs today?
I was shocked. I was shocked, to be honest with you.
Rex Ryan and his gastric bypass, he just looks like a big head and teeth. Like, if I ever got gastric bypass, I would look like an orange and a toothpick. I would just be all head and teeth. That's what Rex, sexy Rexy looks like now. But you know what? I'm glad the Jets won, because we talked about Shiano before. I don't like him either.
Okay, I got a question, or let me throw something at you then. We know you don't like Shiano, but the one thing I'm hearing a lot about is a lot of negativity regarding Freeman. And I never got that. I always think he's a good kid. I think he's a talented kid. I think he does well. I think he's kind of like Brady, to where he doesn't have a lot of the best tools around him.
How dare you compare Josh Freeman to Tom Brady?
Again, kind of.
They took away his captaincy. Isn't that a kick in the balls?
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey guys, really? You're taking away my captaincy?
I showed up to a wrestling banquet one time and got named a captain. I was like, fucking A, this is awesome. I didn't even see it coming.
He shows up to the complex and, yeah, we just don't want you to be a captain anymore. But he's still the quarterback. Whew. The guy on his way out, huh? I see bad things with the Bucks coming. Geno Smith played pretty well today, I guess. I'm not really sure what his stats were, but they were all right, good enough to win, even though it was a stupid late hit penalty at the end of the game, put him into field goal. But hey, 1-0 versus Jets versus 1-0 Patriots next Thursday night.
What about the return of Revis?
He didn't do much, right?
He had one reception on him for 13 yards, and that was all. That was all that was thrown in his, like, as Rex Ryan would refer to it, as Revis Island. Since Rex, you know, I find it very interesting that his return was against the Jets.
It was ironic. I mean, you know,
irony runs through the NFL.
Glad the Jets,
like, blood won. Through the blood. Never mind. Let's go.
KC 28, Jacksonville 2. First time in the history of the league that a score ended 28-2. Why is Jacksonville not bring Tebow in is beyond me. At least to make them somewhat relevant, because they are the most irrelevant team in the league. 28-2.
That's horrible.
Detroit 34, Minnesota 24.
Yeah, Coach, one thing here. There was one point today to where I was looking at the screen, and I saw 2-0 for two different teams.
I saw it for three different teams. I saw, and at one point they put up on the score 4-0 for Pittsburgh, but Jacksonville was up 2-0, Jets were up 2-0, and Pittsburgh was up 2-0, and at one point they put up 4-0.
I was trying to figure out is there something going on in the NFL that I don't know about? Is there some new scheme? I was like, did the pooch kick come back and they just call it 2 points now? Something, but I was like, man, this is,
you mean,
scary.
The drop kick?
Or the drop kick, pooch kick, the Elway kick, or the Doug Flutie kick. Those are the two quarterbacks I know that were really practicing it back in the day.
St. Louis came back to beat Arizona. Honey Badger, did you see that? Honey Badger knocked that ball out there at the goal line, chased a guy down, knocked out.
You know, I did not know that was him.
Yeah.
I did see the play, and I have a little side note here about who was that guy.
Really?
I did not know that was the Honey Badger.
Yeah, Matthew.
That's awesome.
See you in Hawaii. He will be in the Pro Bowl in the next year or two. Oakland.
Well, let's go back to the Rams a little bit. Sam Bradford's a guy that gets a lot of shell fire. I think he looked pretty solid.
I've always thought he was going to be pretty good.
I did too, but I just don't like, well, where he came in with an injury and stuff, so he wasn't able to prove himself right away. Jeff Fisher, when he got the job there, they traded away their pick to the Redskins. And one of the things he was getting criticized over was, you're going to take Sam Bradford over RG3. And I'm like, hell yeah. I would definitely take a Sam Bradford over an RG3 any day of the week.
I wouldn't. But
you wouldn't?
No, I think Robert Griffin's a once-in-a-generation type talent.
Yeah, that's only going to last a year or two.
We'll see. Hey, let's dig into the twit bag because someone's got a question for yours truly, Lurk.
Oh, boy.
I don't think I used that right. They got a question for you, Lurk.
All right.
To Lurk, is Terrell Pryor the real deal future of the Raiders, or is another, this is from at Big Hat Funny. Is Terrell Pryor the real deal future of the Raiders, or is another tease? Oh, wait. Question continues. Oh, wait. Isn't it against your religion to make predictions on the future? Coach, can you take that question? I digress. I'll give it to you. What do you think about Terrell Pryor? Losing today, 21-17 Indy.
All right. Before the game happened today, there would be no way in hell that I would ever have thought Terrell Pryor could be any part of a salvation of this Raiders franchise. But today, I saw something that I never expected to see. I saw a guy come to life. I saw a team come to life. I saw a team battle from snap one to the last snap. The one thing that Terrell Pryor has been criticized about immensely has been his accuracy. He went 4 for 4 with balls right on point. He threw a bad pass for that fifth one, and it was an interception. But in the end, he looked great. One of the things I was really worried about him was he was looking to run first. He would do his three-step drop back, seven-step drop back, and then he'd want to take off and run. But at the same time, like, I just thought he's just trying to run. But today I saw him going through his checkdowns. He was hitting checkdown receivers. He was hitting main receivers. He was going into the runs. He looked fantastic.
So you think he's a real deal? You think he's someone that can base his team around?
Today, after what I saw in a real game today, yes.
You don't deal in hypotheticals. You deal in today, right?
To what I saw today, I say yes.
Yes. Yeah. Cowboys running away from the Giants like a call, 27-10.
How is Kyle Orton doing?
I don't know, but they're running away from him. Interesting. I think the Cowboys actually have a pretty good defense. Finish up the scores real quick.
Hey, Mr. Kiffin.
Before, good point. Yeah. Before we get into dig into the rest of the twit bag and hit some sparrows off each other's red heads, 23 Dolphins, Browns 10. Thought the Dolphins were going to be all right this year. 16 Titans 9, Steelers 9. Eek. The freaking Jake Locker, another typical Jake Locker performance. 10 of 20, 100 yards or something like that. The JV teams right there, the Titans and the Steelers this year. One more game that I was interested. Oh, Bears over the Bengals. Well, two games. Bears over the Bengals, 24-21. Seahawks 12, Panthers 7. What do you think of that one?
I hope that's a defensive battle. Because Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Panthers, was the ex-Chargers defensive coordinator. He was actually the Bears defensive coordinator when they went to the Super Bowl, too. And so I like to think of him as a defensive guy to where he was able to come up with a game plan to shut things down.
Yeah, and Seattle's fast as hell in defense.
And Seattle and Pete Carroll, he's also a defensive-orientated person. Last week I told you about Teddy Bruschi. Mm-hmm. How about Teddy Bruschi just made the comments that he would have never been the player that he was without Pete Carroll's tutelage. So, again, you got two head coaches, defensive-minded, low-scoring game. It makes sense to me, but at the same time, we know that those offenses can put up huge numbers.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, maybe. You know, it was a brand new year. They put up 12 points today, put up 7 points today.
And here's the big thing is both those offenses run or rely heavily on the run game. Yeah. I mean, basically, you got, they just do. I mean, they rely heavy on the run game.
One more question out of the twit bag. This is a two-part question. Well, the second part from last week at Sweating Mullets. Great name. After today's performance, is Alex Smith up to number one? No. Still Tom Brady. I thought Brady played well when he had to. He wanted to make it plays. Peyton Manning. Still number three. Smith is still number two. Anything else in the twit bag? Nothing. One more thing I want to talk about. Two things really drew me offside today. One, defensive players going offsides and offensive players faking like they're drawn offside because the defensive player moved. I can't stand that. Almost cost the Patriots today. They know the freaking snap count. Why is the offense able to move if a defensive player flinches?
And that's the same thing that you have told your high school players, I have told high school players, like, you know the snap count. Why are you jumping offside?
Right. And they give them the penalty. And I guess a defensive player can't move anymore. Dumb. dumb. And another thing really draws me off sides is that you talk about player safety and concussions. Why don't they make the guys wear mouthpieces? Any idea on that? You're a science guy. I thought mouthpieces help prevent concussions. Is that just a fallacy?
Well, it's supposed to basically stop, like, if you get hit in the chin, and then basically you're going to have solid tissue, and that's where, like, a motion of force is going to travel through. And so it's going to travel through the tissue in your bone, through your teeth, and then again through the part of your skull that goes to your brain, and again, directly affecting your brain.
Science!
To what maybe they say that the mouthpiece just isn't that important, or people don't really care about their teeth anymore, or maybe implants have just become that cheap.
I don't think that would be an easy fix. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we all got to wear mouthpieces, play a safety. You know what I mean? You think they would just make them do that?
In a wrestling match, one time I had a wrestler come up. He hit his head, came right underneath my chin, basically knocked my mouth shut. And then knock my two front teeth out.
I wish I could knock your mouth shut sometime.
But again, that like this is in a wrestling match. You have your jaws free. Yeah. You have the chin strap. Yeah.
Two teeth
again,
spit out chiclets on the mat.
Yeah, and all of a sudden his chin or his head came right underneath my chin, knocked it up. My two teeth clattered together. Boom, two front teeth. Out the door they went.
Speaking of concussions, I thought this was funny. Deion Sanders came out a couple weeks ago bashing all those players. They're saying they were just piling on. It was a money grab. Came out that Deion was one former player that two years ago filed a workman's comp claim here in California while he played with the Cowboys, claiming that he had four doctors say that he is 86% disabled, and he's in a class action lawsuit saying that he got injured while he was playing in California, and it's because California is the only state where you can make those lawsuits as a workman's compensation claim. Talk about a hypocrite.
I agree.
Very disappointing in prime time. You know, such a God-fearing man. I would expect more from him. Pre-game shows today I thought was funny. Ray Lewis, Chris Cotton, and Keyshawn Johnson's talking about red flags and how the Patriots probably should have known that Aaron Hernandez was bad seed. Ray Lewis, Chris Cotton, and Keyshawn Johnson talking about bad seeds. I think the best offseason move any franchise has made is ESPN going out and getting Frank Caliendo to do the pregame show.
Well, they stole him from Fox.
Yeah, stole him from Fox. I think Frank Caliendo's brilliant. Did a Mike Dickett piece today that I thought was hilarious. Anything that guy does is funny. Mike Dickett, too. I thought Mike Dickett was... Mike Dickett brought up a good point. I appreciate listening to Dick, a guy that won a Super Bowl as a coach, a guy who played in the NFL, guys in the Hall of Fame. He was saying one time he had an offensive coordinator that was just driving him crazy, so he took over the play calling duties himself halfway through the year. He said in his first year, he said, you know what? I'm the guy who's going to get fired. I'm the guy everyone's going to blame. I might as well be the one who's going to be calling the plays. I think that's admirable. I'd like guys that go out and call plays or at least look like they're involved in what's going on instead of these guys just kind of walk around. And
I just like guys that take the blame.
Yeah.
You know, they'll take it on the chin. Right. As we've kind of talked about.
Right. It's like Brady Hoke, to get back to college football, Brady Hoke from Michigan. He just kind of wanders the sideline, doesn't have a headset on, doesn't have anything in his hands. He looks like a drunken PE teacher. And I know. I look in the mirror every morning and see a drunken PE teacher. He just kind of wanders around, you know. At the end of the game, I thought it was hilarious. He looked like a drunken uncle at a wedding talking to, you know, a bridesmaid that is actually being nice to him when he's talking to Heather Cox in the game. He just had this creepy look on his face staring at him. I like Brady Hoke, though. I think he's going to get Michigan back to being a powerhouse. Wearing number 98, Devin Gardner. The team that could easily win the Big Ten this year. All right, looking at the games that I picked last week. 5-3 wins and losses, 2-6 against the spread. That's why I don't gamble. Big games for next week. We got Pats Jets on Thursday night. Any other marquee matchups you know of, Lurk, for next week?
Well, we have Jacksonville and Raiders. Basically, they're going to be playing for the number one pick in the NFL draft coming year.
You're throwing in the towel already. You think it's going to be the top 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, we're going to be competing for it. I mean, again, we played fantastic today, and I did not see that coming. And if I am wrong next week, I will be happy to be wrong, but I don't really see a lot of bright side on our Raiders.
Well, but getting back to what we were talking about earlier, you wouldn't take Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy Bridgewater, you would take what? Clowney? Well, who knows? It's still early, right?
Well, right now, yeah. Again, well, now we're talking hypotheticals.
Hypotheticals. Forget it. Right. What am I? Future, right? We don't talk about the future. I tell you, I watched Clowney play this weekend, and he gets a lot of hype. ESPN shamelessly put up that sign at a Baptist church in Georgia. It said, Do you see that? It said, "Dear God, how do we block Clowney?" Hey, boy. I like Clowney, though. You know what I like best about him? He comes out of a four-point stance. The whole South Carolina D-line comes out of a four-point stance. I've always been a big fan of four-point stance. It forces a guy to get low.
Well, and the thing is, too, it's you're really committing to what you're going to do. I mean...
Coming forward.
Yeah, we're going forward. That's where, you know, I'm plugging this gap, or you're getting your ass kicked. One of the two.
Yeah, you're coming forward. I like Clowney. If I was a team that needed a quarterback, which most of the top five pick teams have tipped in top five, I would take Teddy Bridgewater all day, every day. But I don't think you could do wrong with Clowney. I don't think he'll be dominant. I think he'll be good. I think he'll have a Mario Williams-type career. He'll have a year or two. He's, you know, 14, 15 sacks. Guy's got one of the quickest first steps I've ever seen. Well, running out of time here. It brings us to a section of the show I like to call Spirals. I'll give you the first spiral this week, Lurk. Go.
All right. You know what? I'm going to throw a lob at on
a softball?
Let me rephrase that. I'm going to throw a lob at you, Coach. Okay, after years of going undrafted, I was named the 2008 AP Defensive Player of the Year after recording 16 sacks.
James Harrison.
Very good. Catch for you.
First NFL quarterback ever to throw for 30 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions in one season. It was within the last 10 years.
Donovan McNabb.
All right. Good for you.
Look at this. We're snagging
good
him.
Good for you. The hands being displayed.
Coach, I think I caught you off guard on that one.
Yeah, right back at me. Come on, go.
All right. Well, let's see here. My next one's going to be a little bit tougher. This next one is an NBA coaching legend. He's a current GM, but he was also drafted by the Dallas Cowboys as a wide receiver.
An NBA coaching legend. He's also a GM. He is...
Current GM.
Don Nelson?
No. I'll give you a second guess. This is a 1967 drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
Kiki Vandeweghe.
No.
I don't know.
Pat Riley.
Really?
Yes.
Out of Schenectady, New York. A Schenectadian. I worked at Union College. Schenectady's son, Pat Riley. Coming right back at you. Most consecutive pass completions over the course of two games. What quarterback had the most consecutive pass completions over the course of two games?
I'm going to have to go with my hometown hero. Not hometown hero, but one of my hometown boys in Rich Cannon.
Donovan McNabb. You never learn, do you?
Touché.
Donovan McNabb, 24, for the Giants, play against the Giants of Green Bay over the course of two games. Donovan McNabb.
My next answer is going to be Irving Fryer.
Donovan McNabb had 24 consecutive completions over the course of two games. Should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
He still has, he'll be up for it.
He gets a bad rep. I don't know. Bernard Hopkins always talks mess on him. A lot of people talk mess on him.
Owens talks crap on him. Yeah. I just think a lot of people... I don't think his attitude was accepted. His "I'm just going to be happy to be here" attitude. I don't think that was really accepted by a lot of the
haters. Everywhere we go, last spiral, go.
All right. In 2004, at the age of 31, I became the oldest player in NFL history to lead in rushing and winning a title by 1 yard over Sean Alexander.
2004.
Won a title. Come on, Coach. 2004, buddy.
Corey Dillon?
Curtis Martin.
Came right back at me.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I'm not even an Eagles fan, so getting Donovan that wrong is horrible.
Huh. It's been fun. Glad the season's here. Follow us on Twitter at High Yards LA. You can also get us on iTunes at High Yards LA. What's the Facebook? Quick, go.
Nothing yet.
That's why I pay you the big bucks, Lurk. I'm the coach. This is Lurk. We're out. See you next week.
listen to Skid Row Studios anytime, anywhere with the Skid Row app on your smartphone.
Skid Row Studios.
Real radio on the internet.
Hey, this is Eddie Solis, producer and host of Los Angeles Nista. Make sure you listen to the show live every Monday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at SkidRowStudios.com. And make sure you download the Skid Row Studios app for your iPhone.
Hello, I'm Julianne Good, the host of Psych One-on-One, live on Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Every week, I talk with psychology experts as we explore the issues that matter to you. Anything from reducing anxiety to getting better Z's at night. Call in at 800-893-9562 to ask us questions and give us your opinions. We'd love you to join us. We're here to make psychology understandable and give you the information you need to make your life better. And if you can't listen live, our shows are also archived and available for downloading from iTunes, and we're at www.skidrowstudios.com. Join us, please.